Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, food is necessary for life. No matter what type of life it is, it needs food to sustain itself. Now, as human beings, we have the luxury of having a variety of foods to choose from. I mean, imagine being a shark, all right? But you don't like seafood. Well, guess what? You're SOL, right? Well, not us humans. Oh, no. We can create our own meals and tailor them to our personal appetites. But that said, we don't always get it right. And frankly, some foods we just hate. In fact, someone on Reddit recently compiled a list of 18 American foods that non-Americans find disgusting, and some not terribly surprising. Kraft Singles, Scrapple, candy corns, Jell-O. Look, you might like them, but I can see how those things might turn a foreigner off. A ranch dressing and biscuits and gravy? I mean, come on, man. Universally good. Then again, people in the Philippines might not understand why I don't like balut, while people in England might not understand my aversion to black pudding. Which, by the way, was my nickname in high school. You laughing about it. Now, sometimes, even when you eat a meal that you do like, you might not like the end result. Look, I'm lactose intolerant. I enjoy a big old bowl of ice cream. I don't enjoy sitting on the toilet for 20 minutes, but that's my sacrifice. But some other examples. Here in Seattle, at least 14 people tested positive for salmonella after eating Christmas dinner at an emergency housing shelter. Now, one of the people who got sick said, quote, "It was actually a really good dinner, to be honest." And then they had to go to the hospital. And in Japan, 9 people were hospitalized this new year after, 9 people went to the hospital, 2 people died after eating mochi rice cakes. Yeah, it's food day here on the Men's Room. And that leads to today's question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. So today's question is, what will you never eat again, either because it sucked or it did you dirty?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the chills, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4242. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Taryn Daly, Steve Biggs are back from the Daily Biggs Morning Show. And today on Sit and Spin, good news for you, Ted. The 10 greatest boy bands of all times.
Excellent.
We've already determined when they come in studio what we're going to do today.
All right, what's that?
Here's the deal. Steve, I know for a fact that you are not the biggest boy band expert. I have combed through your vinyl collection. I have found none.
I'm trying to think, man.
I mean, maybe your wife's got a new kids on the block.
No, I'm aware of what she buys because I'm always so upset she buys. The one that pisses me off, she got 2 Madonna albums, and I didn't even want to put them in my stack. I want to put them separately so that people don't think I like her garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, man? Honest to God, I might have some Motown if that qualifies, but I do not have any boy band.
When's your birthday?
When's my birthday?
Yeah.
March 22nd.
All right.
What are you going to buy? If you said, look, man, This is what's going to get you to say, you know what, man, boy bands are all right.
What's the introductory album for the person who's uneducated?
I mean, Millennium by Backstreet Boys.
That's I know the name.
I want it that way. I mean, that thing's got hits, but
I used to have to play some of those when I worked on the easy listening or whatever station.
I don't know. I just kind of like the idea of me shopping for vinyl boy bands.
If, you buy
if
me,
somebody catches me, I'll be like, hey, I'm buying it for thrill.
Thanks.
Also, we know for the most part the taste of Steve Miggs from the morning show, his taste in music as well.
Yeah.
Leans more rock. I'd say his favorite band is Faith No More, et cetera, et cetera.
Faith No More, Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
He and I track pretty well on music, so I can tell you, he might like boy bands, but there's no way he's a boy band aficionado.
I'd say he does not like them either.
Okay. We'll find out.
But here's the deal. We know for a fact that you and Taryn have enjoyed some boy bands over your time.
I love them.
So what we're going to do is...
I used to have to buy those CDs. I used to have my cousin buy them.
Why did your cousin buy them?
Because I didn't feel like a man going into the store buying a Backstreet Boys CD. So I would have her buy them and then
really?
I'd listen to them. Yeah.
Oh, man. Is it just the look you get from the very snarky-looking cashier at any given record store?
Yeah, like Justified, Timberlake's first album I had, but it was a burnt CD.
Is this like when you order two Cokes at the drive-thru so they think you're ordering for two people?
Because all the food that you ordered.
Yeah, give me and a Sprite. Yeah. What do you want? Yeah.
Anything else,
and you pull
sir?
Up, you're the only one in there. It's kind of like that. So we're gonna let you and Taryn do battle, and
right.
You guys are gonna see because Mike is you determined to put a little twist on there. So here is the twist on the 10 greatest boy bands of all times. If you do know a little bit about boy bands, you know they're more popular tunes.
Sure,
you know the ones that obviously they're popular bands for. We are not going to play any of those.
All right,
we are going to play some of the lesser known tracks,
like the B sides, I guess.
Boy band
B sides,
not the most popular one, but just based on their overall sound.
Sure.
Hopefully, you guys will be able to identify some of the top 10 greatest boy bands of all times.
Okay,
so that's coming up at 4:30. What else do we have? Oh, we do have a chance for you to win $5,000 a day. All you got to do is listen for 1 hour on the Odyssey app or Odyssey.com. Just that easy. Just make sure you signed in so they know you're there, and listen for 1 hour for your chance at $5,000 a day. And today we're going to talk about food. What will you never eat again because it sucked or did you dirty? Now, food can do you dirty in a number of ways. And Steve, you brought this up. What happened in Japan on New Year's?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think is going to happen when people die? All right. Especially from any food situation. Basically, they got sick and they just didn't make it.
Right.
Now, that is not the case in Japan.
That's what makes this story a little odd to me.
It is a favorite seasonal food, and it's once again turned deadly in Japan. What would you guys guess, and be honest, is the most deadly food that you can eat in the United States of America that's a common food item?
The most dangerous in the U.S.?
As far as being dangerous.
Sprouts.
All right, very good call, Ted.
Because of
spinach, sprouts, any of that stuff.
Like E. coli.
The occasional oyster, but depending on the situation, it could be a hot dog. And cutting up a hot dog for an elderly person or for a kid, as far as a choking hazard is concerned.
Uh-huh. You're right. I generally think of cutting it up for a kid, but old people too.
Processed meat is not the best thing in the world for you, but as far as, you know, a choking hazard is concerned, I read a story today about a guy who went through an awful situation because he was grilling burgers and he used a metal wire brush to clean his grill.
Oh, no. And he got the wire in the meat.
And he got one of the wires stuck in his throat and didn't know it. And it was in there for like 10 days. And he was struggling bad before they finally took an x-ray and were able to pinpoint where that was because it was starting to cause an infection.
To me, that's more terrifying. Because remember, years ago, right, 20 years ago, Ozzy, I think he was eating something or he was drinking something, but like the glass broke in his mouth, but a piece got lodged in his throat.
Had an old bartender in Seattle.
Oh, really?
That I know very well.
Damn.
They were doing either a shooter or a shot, and a shard of glass was at the bottom of that glass.
God.
And went down and got caught either in their esophagus, their throat, in their stomach.
Wherever it got caught, it ain't good.
Yeah, it was not a good situation. So in Japan, traditional mochi rice cakes are eaten around New Year's.
Mochi?
Mochi.
Mochi. Yeah. Sorry, mochi. And there's nearly always a surge in choking deaths, largely among the elderly. In Tokyo alone, 9 people were hospitalized. 2 died in the first few days of the year after choking on the sticky, chewy rice.
Do you like mochi, Mike?
No.
Are those the balls they put in the tea?
Mochi ice? No. Mochi ice cream's delicious.
That's fine. The ice cream. I've never had the... But it's not chewy.
It's not the mochi part that I like. It's the ice cream that I like. I don't need the rice dough.
Aren't those balls in bubble tea?
Is that what the...
No, those are tapioca.
Yeah.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Does anyone actually like tapioca?
No.
Yeah. I think it's odd that people...
wanted in a drink.
It's risotto
and
pudding.
Why swallow it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's risotto and pudding.
Yeah, basically.
Isn't it basically just rice pudding? Essentially.
I don't know what the difference between tapioca and rice is, but yeah, the consistency.
Actually, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe that is what it's in bubble tea.
Really?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I thought I've had bubble tea.
One because my daughter's like, you got to have this, so we...
Well, you had the mochi ice cream with us.
Yeah, and that was not bad. Not bad at all.
It's delicious.
But they say every year emergency services launch campaigns urging people to take care when eating mochi. It is delicious, but wait a moment. Don't rush. Eat it slowly and chew it very well, according to the Tokyo Fire Department.
Kind of like my mom's cooking.
Yeah.
Our mutual friend, his dog's name is Mochi, so I'm kind of laughing, and he's like, take your time with eating mochi.
Yeah.
Mochi balls.
They urge people to cut the mochi into smaller pieces and moisten their throats with soup or tea before eating. They advise the elderly to eat it all. And they say, look for things in your elderly family, like the warning signs of not being able to speak, or, as they say, suddenly turning blue.
You mean like choking?
Yes. They say in 2001, a woman saved her 70-year-old father's life by using a vacuum cleaner to dislodge the mochi from his throat. A vacuum. Who knew that there was that attachment?
I would have never even thought of that.
No, I would not either.
Stick the attachment and not fire up the vacuum and just suck it out of the throat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when I heard that question today, the grossest thing I think I've ever put in my mouth was we were eating oysters.
Yeah.
And my buddy convinced me to eat raw clams.
Do people
on the half shell? Yeah, I guess they do. I don't know how to describe it other than just I don't know how I didn't puke. And he looked at me and said, do not puke on this bar, because it was kind of a nice place.
You gave me a raw clam, man. I mean, yeah. Look, it is 50. I'm not trying to puke on the bar, but if you give me a raw clam, we have just upped the chances of me doing exactly that.
Hopefully you're experienced enough at Shellfish to know when to spit that shrimp out. There's a consistency. There is a...
Shrimp, I think oysters, too. If you just crack open an oyster, sometimes it just doesn't smell right.
Then don't do it.
And if you tap on it and it's hollow because there's no water in there,
yeah,
do not eat that oyster.
Now, a lot of times, once the oyster's in your mouth, it's too late, right? So by the time the fumes register that this is not a good oyster, it's already down your throat.
See, my money says it's much better to go out for oysters than it is to shuck your own. And the reason being is, like, look, if you go to a tailor or someplace where there's a guy who shucks hundreds of oysters a day.
They're not going to give you the bad ones.
He knows the difference. He can tell by just even cutting it, the consistency, if it's a good oyster or not. I trust him more than I trust myself to serve that to somebody.
I can't remember if I was with you or my wife. It's one of the times I was in New Orleans, and this big brother's in the back shucking oysters, and he's specifically doing my plate. I think I got 2 dozen or something. And I'm watching him do it, and I just remember he made eye contact with me and just said, I'm tossing these 3 out, man. Said, these nasty. But he saved one for me. He didn't put it on the plate, but he brought it around just to look at it, man. I was like, oh, my God.
See, I might not know. I might do that. Like, I did that mushroom that almost killed me. So that's what I'm saying.
The mushroom had every warning sign.
Right.
It had every warning sign that it's going to hurt you because it did not look like a mushroom. It was orange. Yes. It had purple specks. My God, I might as well have said, hello, Miles.
And when you're going to an oyster place, you're going to a place that serves oysters and has... It's not the special on the menu.
Right.
This is a place that does that. So I think that's a better call. However, we stay home here in Seattle. This is an unpleasant story. Seattle and King County investigating over a dozen people that got sick after a Christmas dinner served in an emergency housing shelter here in Seattle. Now, 14 people who attended dinners at Mary Pilgrim Inn, they tested positive for Salmonella. Additional people who got sick are being tested, although the department hasn't gotten results back yet. 5 people were actually hospitalized. Many of the people got sick after eating food served at 2 dinners on Christmas Day, or the leftovers served the next day. And by the way, those meals were only available to shelter residents at the time and staff. That was not open to the public.
Right. It's a shelter, yeah.
How do I know I have salmonella? Uncontrollable poop. Salmonella is a bacterial infection spread through contaminated food and water or animal contact, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headache, fever, chills, abdominal cramping. It was a really good dinner, to be honest, according to one of the residents. It was really bomb. And then everyone started getting sick.
That's the worst part, is that you enjoyed the meal. You know, it was delicious, it was good, which leads you to eat more.
Yes.
Only to find out, it's salmonella-y.
See, here's my thing. It's a holiday dinner. That means you know for a fact that it wasn't 3 meals, 3 different courses, or 3 things. It was...
It's one giant-ass meal.
Yeah, it was probably 5 or 6 different things, right? And so we always try to do the, I know what did this to me math.
No, you don't.
And that's the problem.
Is it the turkey? Is it the mashed potatoes?
You don't.
Is it the green beans?
You do not know what it was that really did you. And you might swear off turkey or gravy or stuffing or mashed potatoes. And none of that was it could have been the butter you put on your roll.
Right.
I mean, you really don't have any idea.
I mean, you did it to me years ago, and that was a good point. There was a place I went that had a really good salmon sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I told Mosca, man, I got a bad piece of salmon. He goes, what else was on it? And I was like, grilled onions? He's like, it's probably the onions.
Well, but typically, if you cook the onions, that gives you a little bit better chance.
If you cook anything, you do a little better.
But not always.
Right.
Not always. So our question, what will you never eat again because it sucked or did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Hayden. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
What's up, guys? All right, long-time listener, first-time caller. And so your question completely reminded me of back when I was a sophomore in college. Me and my ex-fiancée had just moved in together. And she was from Tokyo, pure-blood Japanese. But for whatever reason, she decided the first night she wanted to cook me loco moco, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a Hawaiian dish, which is basically like fried rice with a T-bone steak on top and then a fried egg.
Yeah.
Well, when we got to the egg, she threw it in the pan, scooped it back up all clear and like literally like raw egg and threw it on top of the T-bone steak and said, here you go, baby. And I was like, you know, you should probably put that back on the stove for a second. Hey, that's not cooked. So she threw it back on the stove, counted to 10, scooped it back up, threw it on the T-bone and looked at me and I looked like, you're getting none tonight if you don't shut up and eat that.
And so,
you know, I manned up and I ate it. And about an hour later, as we're starting to make out on the couch, I mean, dude, it hit me like a brick. Full-blown food poisoning. I mean, I was in the bathroom for like an hour and a half. It's coming out both ends. She's at the door like, are you okay? I'm just screaming at her that if she ever cooks for me again, I'd just rather commit suicide. Like, it was just a horrible experience.
Well, she did upgrade on the steak. Typically, it's just ground beef.
Yeah.
I mean, at least she gave you that option.
I know, right?
But the raw egg, yeah, man, food poisoning is just the worst.
I don't know if it was food poisoning or salmonella or both, but I was sitting on the toilet holding a bucket.
You know what, man? But that makes me think about one thing, right? So, you know, Botox basically was giving someone botulism, right? So they've taken something that could be deadly and put it to a good use. I feel like if I'm a doctor and you're like, hey, doc, I've been constipated for 3 weeks. I don't know what to do. Eat this bad oyster, because in about 5 minutes, whatever you got in you is shooting out the backside. I mean, that is the fastest diuretic on this planet is food poisoning.
Yep.
It is incredible. So will you not eat the Moco Loco anymore, or you just won't eat her version?
Not only have I not eaten Loco Moco anymore, I mean, me and her broke up over, oh my God, see what, I went to prison for 5 years, so we broke up.
Oh, hey, wait a minute.
Why'd you go to prison?
Maybe she was trying to kill you.
No, I wish she had tried to kill me. That would have made a better story. No, she actually jumped back on the plane after school ended with the ring and never called me again. But after we moved in together, which was like a year before she left me, that was the first and last time I ever let her cook for me in the house.
All right, but why did she go to prison?
I went to prison for $250,000 in money laundering, 220 pounds of marijuana, and a kilo of cocaine.
That'll do it.
Wow.
I mean, to be fair, yeah. Only 5 years, not so bad.
Do you still own the car wash?
No, actually what happened was I ran a legalized marijuana farm out of Santa Barbara, and a few hundred pounds every month were going to other states. I ended up getting caught by the feds, da-da-da-da. And then this dude, who was the one that told on me because he was doing all this like stuff on the side and all that with cocaine and whatever, that had nothing to do with me. They come and find me. They got a super weak-ass case. The problem is they're trying to hit me with a kilo of cocaine, anything which is 1,000 grams. Anything over 500 is 10 to life. Well, 220 pounds of weed, which is 100 kilos, is only 5 to 7 years, right? And so since their weed case was so weak and everything was so bad, they went, look, man, we'll give you a deal. We'll give you a deal. If you take the coke in name, we'll give you the weed time.
Okay.
But you weren't dealing coke, right?
Yeah, but you get a lesser sentence. So at this point, sure.
I wasn't dealing kilos of coke.
Okay.
I think I wasn't doing kilos. I mean,
if you say that you did this,
we'll give you less time for
right. Like,
I'll take the deal.
By the way,
Hayden, you proved my point, which I've been saying basically since my teens, which is most people in the U.S. don't really know the metric system, and anyone that can spout off the metric system and equate it to pounds, they deal drugs. Every drug dealer I've ever met, man, you say, well, exactly how much is that? They'll put it in standard for you instantly. Anybody else, they're not dealing drugs. Maybe a baker, maybe, but every drug dealer in this country can convert metric to standard in the blink of an eye.
I got a 500 millimeter penis.
Right.
Yeah. What will you never eat again because it sucked or did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
20 years on the rock. We're going to throw a little party. As we just launched the 20th anniversary lager, we're going to have a little launch party.
Yeah, the lager launch party.
That's it for the beer. What do we ask of you? I'll stop by, be a part of the live broadcast from 2 till 6, February the 7th, which is a Friday afternoon. If you haven't had a chance yet to try the 20th anniversary lager, it will be there. So will the Men's Room IPA and bright yellow can.
Hell yeah.
Cap as well, along with all the other great beers from Black Raven Brewing. But yes, you will be a part of the live studio audience. And we're just going to throw a little launch party for the brand new beer that's available this year through Black Raven.
Why not?
It's beer. It's an excuse.
We can throw a party while we work. You see what we did there?
It's absolutely free, so we hope to see you up at Black Raven in Woodinville. Okay, our question, what will you never eat again because it sucked or did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
A couple of quick texts here. Someone says, Arby's. I ate two different locations both times I threw up. I feel bad for it. I don't go to Arby's much, but when I do, my mouth is very, very happy with me.
Yeah.
And I stick with the roast beef. I know they do all the burgers now. They got the meats. They went down that road. But, man, look, I can get a burger anywhere. So when I go to Arby's, I'm like, I want your roast beef. I don't even know if it's actual roast beef. I do not care. It is delicious.
No, it's got the oil stain on it. It's got a rainbow.
It looks like they dropped it under the car.
Well, I think most places, though, you go for what they're known for.
Exactly.
McDonald's has a ton of stuff. But at the end of the day, sometimes you just want a Big Mac.
But you know why you're a McDonald's. I cannot believe people at Hem and Haw McDonald's, right? Like, sitting in the drive-thru and they're like, dude. What was your urge to go to McDonald's? Just order it. You know why you're here. If you wanted the McNuggets, it's
you're talking about being lactose intolerant and what a bowl of ice cream or cereal will do to your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, I'm a big supporter of Hooters. I love Hooters, but the grease in the chicken wings, which I have to get a bunch of chicken wings and the curly fries, and then I get a nacho cheese dipping sauce. Well,
what else you got to get? It's Hooters.
I know that, but it makes me...
It's kind of their thing.
It makes me feel like ass dead.
No, I just like, you're like, I have to get wings. Like,
what else do they have at Hooters?
Honestly, they have a burger or something, but I mean, they're known for wings.
I don't think I've eaten anything at Hooters that is not wings.
Exactly.
Right. I don't even think I look at their menu. Like, just bring me a dozen wings.
It is the greasiest fried chicken ever. So, you know, you just let an hour or two go by and you're like, oh, man. I love it, but man, it's killing me right now.
But it's worth it.
You just got to be careful where you are in proximity to a bathroom.
Well, just know that you should probably go home after eating at Hooters.
Yeah, at least
have
$3 in your pocket so you can buy a coffee at Starbucks to use their facility.
Right. So at some point, right, all three of us lived in Maryland.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it all the time. Mike and I, over the break, went down to the Crab Pot. I brought my old bae. Right?
You brought your old bae in there.
Oh yeah.
Dude, absolutely.
Are they okay with that?
Yeah, that's how the bartender kind of remembered
me. That's how the guy knows. Do you give it to the one that brought your own old bae?
Do you give it to the cook, or do you put it on after the fact?
I put it on after. I like to dip in it.
Okay. Yeah.
But same thing, I know eating all that old bae, and if I eat crabs at home, I'm dipping them in vinegar, it's going to tear my ass up. But I still do it every time.
Every time. There's every single time. Yeah.
Right, there's like a clock. For instance, this spring, when I was back east for, we were doing my dad's like thing at Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sunday before, my Uncle Tim... Bunch of crabs, me and Chris and the kids, my buddy Joe, we drive up there. And on the way home, Joe didn't eat that many crabs. My brother's just like, hey, we got to go straight to the house. The timer's on. And I understood exactly what he meant. And then we got there, and I looked at my buddy Joe, and I said, we need to Uber back to our hotel. My timer's going on.
Because we're about to blow it up, man.
Yeah, you got about a two-hour window before you got to get it out.
I'm going to try the science experiment.
What's that?
I'm doing a Capital Grill, Daniels, you know, the Met. I'm bringing Heinz 57 steak sauce. Yep. I'm going to have it in my pocket. But even before I order anything, I'm just going to put it on the counter.
Yeah, they're not going to care.
Oh, I know that. But still, it's just like, yeah, what's this?
I don't think, I mean, it's a crab place, but most of them don't have Old Bay.
I don't blame you.
So, I think they'll give you a look if you have A1. For whatever reason, right? You can have a million steak sauce.
Okay, all right.
No one says a word. You break out A1, they're like, oh my God, that's savage.
But dude, it's A1 steak sauce.
Well, plus, again, I've only ever done it once at Chicago. It's a famous steakhouse. I don't know if they were just off their game that day, but it was like, they didn't even put salt and pepper on it.
Oh, really?
I think that's the only time I've been like, do you have steak sauce? But the Old Bay, man, yeah, there's like a little container, and then you know me, I go, you know I keep that thing on me. He laughed.
By the way, just one more text. Says, my name is Elsie. Hello, Elsie. One food I cannot stand, spaghetti. And it's simply because growing up was the only thing my dad knew how to make, so we ate it constantly.
Probably wasn't the best spaghetti, though.
I mean, to me, spaghetti, it's not good enough to love. It's not bad enough to hate. It's just kind of sustenance. Like, it's fine.
But it fills you up. If you're hungry.
It fills you up. You're hungry. It's quick. But I'm like, I don't like it. I don't dislike it. It's just, it's like a saltine cracker.
What time will you never eat again because it either sucked or it did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, as I've shared before, I am a motivational speaker. And sometimes here at home, I'm also a Native American gentleman. And I've got to give motivational speeches on various residents close to the area. And one of the things that you can eat there is called an Indian taco, which is basically the bread of a chalupa, but flatter and bigger with the taco makings on top. And one gig that I had...
It's fry bread, right?
There was, yes, fry bread.
Yeah, Indian fry bread.
Yes. And so, basically, the only thing there was to eat at this gig or drink was an Indian taco and straight black coffee. And, yeah. So I had both of those, and as you might imagine, you know, usually what I'm known for is my speeches. That was the only time that I've ever had to do an intermission because I heard the devil's whisper, the, you know, otherwise the resounding fart, and had to take a break. The only time I've ever had to do that.
Did you tell people why, and how long was your break?
It was a quick one, probably about 5 minutes, and then I was in and out.
So,
I had to
be. What did they do when you were in the bathroom? Just kind of wait, put on some music? What's happening?
Basically, I had to call someone over and just say, like, I never do this, but can we take a little bit of a break? And they kind of prattled on while I was doing my thing.
The devil's whispering on my backside. All right, so, Cheyenne, tell me this, man. Why, like, look, you can go around this country and you can find any kind of food you want to eat, right? So you go somewhere like New York City. If it exists, they've got the food. I understand why there's not a lot of English restaurants. English food is absolutely dreadful. Why are there no, like, native eateries? You know, I've never been to a place that says, hey, man, we have a fine selection of native cuisine. And what would it be?
I mean, there really isn't one, kind of like you stated, but the closest thing you would find to that is, you know, your quintessential casino buffets, depending on where you are in the country.
Or popcorn. I think that's the greatest contribution is popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. Basically, fry bread and stew. If you want to look for staples, that's what those would be.
I mean,
stew is leading. Like, stew is just a term, something wet with stuff in it. And I mean, that's all stew means, especially when there's nothing before the word stew. Like, I made stew. Like, what kind of stew? And they look at you for 5 seconds and go, well, it's stew. Like, I don't want to try that.
Yeah.
That's just me. So basically, if you want native cuisine, go to your local movie theater.
What will you never eat again because it sucked or did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Bajola.
Hola.
Gentlemen, I had a drinking experience that still haunts me. I was at my local watering hole, and the bartender there, she is from Chicago, and brought in one of her favorite beverages called the Chicago Handshake, called Malort.
I've heard the name. What is it?
It is, so imagine a extremely smoky, peaty, astringent scotch.
Okay.
And then strain it, then strain that through cigarette butts, add some burning tire flavor, maybe some gasoline.
Malort is absolutely awful. For some reason, it's like hot right now. Like, people have discovered how bad it is, and it's like, you got to go get a shot of Malort.
But why, Ted, is that just basically in the Chicago area? What's the significance?
Because it sucks.
Oh, no, I know.
So it never left.
Look, Mad Dog 2020 is not the greatest thing in the world, but it's available in all 50 states.
Right, it's reached that.
Maybe not Utah. But why is that? Because no other really liquor or liqueur is specialized, in my mind, to a city in the United States.
Right.
Beers, yes.
Yeah, no, it's something criminal is what it is.
It's that bad.
Okay.
So now it's become like a thing. Like, there's Midwestern bars are carrying it. But I mean, up until like a couple years ago, there was maybe two or three bars I knew in this entire city that had it.
Do they? Are people excited about it specifically because they know it's just hot garbage and they want you to try it?
Or like, there's a thing now, like if you're in your 20s.
And so they don't know about it, so they want to try something new, which was my mistake.
Correct. And it's like this new thing where, like, let's say all five of us are in a room, right? All right. Or four of us. You got to do a shot of Malort and then just say, like, thank you, sir, I'll have another. Yeah. But it's so bad, people are like, oh. Like, it's awful.
So bad. I literally almost threw up for half an hour. I can barely keep it down, and I'd not been drinking much that night. It was just the aftertaste would not go away of, like, a cigarette ashtray and dirty socks. It would linger.
And this was one shot of it?
One shot.
All right. And was she fine on it?
Oh, she loved it. She loved it.
Okay. All right.
She brought it in.
I can't drink absinthe because of it.
Some people seem to really like it. No, thank you.
Absinthe stays in my mouth, in my stomach, and I burp for hours.
Yeah, I don't like absinthe, and the problem is, and Ted, you always harped on this, which is, you know, the legend of absinthe is that you go on a trip, but you went on a trip because it was impure and basically it was homemade.
Right, so Malort, like absinthe, does have wormwood in it.
But again, but if it's done properly, you don't get to hallucinate and go on your Picasso trip, right? So when they reintroduce absinthe, it's safe absinthe, and I realize I had it, and I'm like, this just tastes like ass.
But it's very high proof. Too.
It's so, super high.
I mean, look, I like absinthe. I'm also a weirdo, right? Like, I'll drink a Fernet. Like, I thoroughly enjoy a digestif.
Do you like Jaeger?
Oh, yeah.
Really? You actually like the taste?
Ouzo.
Ouzo's tough.
Ouzo's horrible.
Okay? Yeah.
We traded Malort, a bottle of Ouzo for, what did we get in return? I can't remember.
A headache.
Now, we had the bottle of Ouzo, and then our producer back in Baltimore, because he was this highfalutin kind of pretentious dude, he had something that wasn't great, but we traded him. Like, look, man, we will give you this bottle of Ouzo. Just give us whatever you've got that's not Ouzo. That's a trade. And he was like, absolutely, this stuff's so good. But he's one of those guys where I'm like, does he actually like this? Or just to play into
his... Well, he's also Greek.
Is he?
Yeah.
He does look like Telly Savalas, now that you say that.
Yeah,
honestly, God,
that
he did. He looked like Telly freaking Savalas.
Right.
Like, yeah, like, I bet Mike likes Ouzo.
Oh, he does.
But he's Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Which Mike?
Chili Parlor.
Oh, really?
With the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing on tap right now.
Yeah, he's super Greek.
Okay, now look, just because you're Greek doesn't mean you're gonna like Ouzo. I'm black, I don't like chitlins, right? Sue me.
I like Jameson and Guinness.
Well, I Irish too. Yeah. I ain't Irish at all, brother. I've never been to I've been to Tennessee, but I like Jack Daniels a lot. I'm just saying.
Ugh, chitlins do suck.
Chitlins are awful.
What will you never eat because it sucked or did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Robert. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I was at home one summer weekend drinking some beers, and I had a neighbor that crossed the street that lived in 2 weeks ago. So I thought I'd come over there and see what they're doing, introduce myself. They're over there eating things for bets. So I said, well,
hey, Robert. No, it's fair. Call us back, man. Your phone's breaking up. We can't understand you. By the way, Miles, a text came in for you. They have Malort at Petoskey's.
Right, Midwest. Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they also have Mellow right. Corn, which is another one of those Midwestern drinks where you either know it or you don't, but at the same point in time.
If you don't know it, don't bother to introduce yourself to it. It is not good.
I would suggest you try Mellow Corn before you drink Yukon Jack. I'm just saying.
Man, I don't know. I mean, that's like saying, would you rather eat Charles Manson or Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, neither one of them is going to make a good
roommate. Mellow Corn does not have a bad taste. It's just really, really potent.
I told you last year I sat in a suite at one of the Kraken game.
Yeah.
And it was sponsored by a liquor company, and the dude was wearing that Mellow Corn hat. And I was like, is this a joke? And he's like, no, man. Like, we like the brand. We're trying to bring it back.
Oh, I'd ask him if he was a hobo. Wow, Mellow Corn.
That seems like Mellow Corn.
You got a Mellow Corn now. They give you that in the train car. Hello, Samantha. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
How you doing?
We're doing great, Samantha. Thank you.
Perfect. So mine is bacon, unfortunately.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Do you not like the taste? What's your issue with bacon?
No, I love the taste. I used to eat it almost every day, actually. And then as I got older, I realized something kept messing with my stomach real bad. I've had stomach problems since I was little, and every time I'd have bacon, I'd get really sick. But as I got older, it just seemed to get worse and worse, to where when I have bacon or pork in general, but really bacon's the only one I care about, it puts me in the hospital. It makes me so sick.
Were you cursed by a witch or something? My God, man. Mm-hmm. That sounds awful. Were you bitten by a tick? Anything like that?
Possibly. I grew up in the woods in Oregon, so it's possible. But I have all kinds of food allergies, but nothing like bacon. I mean, it's bad. It's full-on sickness for 3 or 4 days.
Damn. What other food allergies do you have? So, in other words, I'm taking you out on a date. We go to a restaurant. What are the things you cannot eat?
You don't want to go eat with me. I can't eat onions.
Okay.
Either. Which is really hard because everyone seasons everything with onion powder. Like any meal you buy at the store just about that's pre-made, it has onion powder in it.
So even that little bit of onion powder does you dirty?
Yeah.
Damn, that's tough because you got to read every label that on everything.
Exactly, yeah.
So how long do you take at a grocery store, you know, and you're going down the aisle, this thing looks good, you're one of the few people that's actually reading every freaking ingredient in there, or do you kind of know now what you can and can't buy?
No, at first it was, so I actually didn't have a problem with onions ever. I used to eat, like, peanut butter and onion sandwiches as a kid, and...
But did you say peanut butter and onion?
Yeah, peanut butter and Walla Walla sweet onion sandwiches, they're delicious.
What the hell goes on in Oregon?
Are they the only two ingredients at your grocery store? I don't understand.
Well, Walla Walla onions, I understand, just not with peanut butter on a sandwich.
Well, like I said, I like tuna, I like peanut butter. I don't want them together. So in my mind, Walla Walla onions, very delicious. Peanut butter, fantastic.
Also, white or yellow onions don't go raw on a cold sandwich.
I agree. That's when they go
red. The red onion does.
Yeah.
Hamburger on a cooked sandwich or something else, or you can put it in tuna salad. But for the most part, I've never had a white or yellow onion raw on a cold sandwich.
Not a cold sandwich, no.
I didn't have a problem with onions forever until I got sick with COVID. And for whatever reason, after I got better, it did some weird stuff. It changed some of my allergies that I have.
Damn.
Okay. All right. Good God.
What will you never eat again because it either sucked or it did you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.